And welcome to another episode of the Kings of Fitness Strength Talk. Today we're going to talk about and discuss four pillars of health and fitness. Also, we're going to discuss nagging injuries, which will relate to the cumulative injury cycle and the corrective exercise continuum. So stick with us to find out what we know and how we're going to help you out. All right, guys, I'm Kyle King, and I'm here with the lovely Lauren King, my wife and professor, which she's going to put on the glasses today, and she's going to show you exactly what she knows, starting off with the four pillars of health and fitness. So, Lauren, you want to tell us what the four pillars of health and fitness are?
Sure, Kyle. So today, yes, we are discussing the four pillars of health and fitness. Those pillars include sleep, nutrition, exercise, and hydration. So we'll go through, we'll explain a little bit about each one, give you some recommendations for each one, and all in all, following these four pillars should really help improve your overall health and fitness.
So first off, everybody knows how important sleep and nutrition and exercise are when you're trying to hit a goal. I think hydration is probably one of the most underrated things that I see. Like working in the scenario, people don't hit what they're supposed to be drinking when it comes to the H2O. So Lauren, what are those recommendations for H2O?
So you want to drink about 60% of your body weight in ounces in water every day. And as I said, water. So a lot of people like to consume other things, coffee, tea, that's great and wonderful, but that's not allocated into that water, into that hydration of water. So despite everything else that you're drinking, you still need to make sure you're hitting that 60% of water in ounces of your body weight.
But you're going to hear a lot of excuses when you tell people that. Like, I'll tell you right now.
I don't like water.
Well, not even that I don't like water, but I feel like you're going to have me in the bathroom all day long.
Well, yeah, you'll probably be in the bathroom a little more frequently, but nothing crazy.
Well, also what I noticed is Lauren has gotten my water intake up. We started this probably about right around the new year. She got my water intake up. It was about a week, maybe 10 days that the bathroom, going to the bathroom a couple times more in the day happened. Eventually, I actually acclimated to the water. Drinking that 60% of the water that I was pretty much going to the bathroom as normal. I did with the water. We did like the four pillars. You know, I do sleep more, and then the nutrition got on point. Exercise kind of stayed the same, but I really feel like the hydration of it all. I dropped about 10 pounds in like 5 days,
right.
Just not retaining the water, but as one of the things. So hydration, super important. A lot of things happen when you hydrate properly. One, your body functions better. The organs function better. Two, you're going to sit back and you're going to see skin. Your skin looks better when you drink enough water. So a lot of people out there, if you're sitting back and you're listening to this podcast and you're like, wow, my skin's kind of crappy. Guess what?
Especially in the winter months where it tends to get a little bit drier.
Probably not drinking enough water.
Yep.
So we'll say four pillars. Start there. Hydration. Second pillar. That I know, as Americans, we're not doing enough.
Sleep.
Yeah. Recommendations, please.
If you are between the ages of 18 and 20 years old, it is recommended that you are getting at least 8.5 hours of sleep per night. Okay, so that can be anywhere from 8.5 up to about 9.25 per night. So again, that's 18 through 20-year-olds.
All right.
If you are 21 and over, it is recommended that you get at least 7 hours of sleep per night. Okay, and that's anywhere from 7 to 9 hours that is recommended for adults older than 21 years old.
What are most Americans getting, though? What's that? What's that average?
5-6 hours
of sleep. So we are probably about 1 to 2 hours underneath where we need to be, and we're probably one of the most obese nations out there. Are we number one?
I think we are number one. I think we're pretty close up there. I think we are number one.
That's scary. Yeah. So we're not getting a lot of sleep, and we're overweight. Lots of problems there. That's terrible. So concentrated efforts on sleeping more. Now, a lot of us stress out. I know that much. There's a lot of stress that goes in there. For me, I'm going to talk about me personally. For me, as this trainer, you know, my work is in the gym. I wake up to somebody else's schedule. When somebody tells me they're going to show up at 6 a.m., I'm up at 4:30. Those people might not even show up. They just kind of vanish. They say, hey, I'll be there at 6, and they vanish. Now I'm up at 4:30. I got to make sure that I'm sleeping with enough time. You know, that means I got to be in bed at what, 7:30, 8 o'clock, in order to hit those hours that I got to get like the 7 to 9.
God, now you're putting me on the spot here for my math.
Well, I'm sitting back and I'm saying, you know, in order to get that stuff, I have to kind of backtrack in the hours in order, you know my schedule, know my day. Huh. So I advise you guys, you know your schedule, know your day, know what's coming the next day. That way you can plan for sleep. You have to plan for sleep.
Absolutely.
That's where everything happens. And I want to say it's that range, that's seven hours. Right around that 7 hours, you're having like a maximization of cell repair.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're broken down after a great workout and your nutrition's on point, which we'll get to next, the exercise is on point, the hydration's on point, you may not see the results because you're just not sleeping enough.
Right.
There's been many stories out there where everybody's got everything on point, but they're only sleeping 4 or 5 hours a day and they're not hitting their results, they're not hitting those goals. So check it. It's one of the four pillars for a reason. Mm-hmm. So 7 to 9 for us older,
Than 21.
Older than 21, okay.
And then a minimum of 8.5 for those who are 18 to 20.
Okay.
Yeah.
So number 3 on there, let's go nutrition.
Yeah.
You got any recommendations for nutrition? I got mine.
I mean, at the most basic recommendations I can make, it's just really avoiding fast food,
mm-hmm.
avoiding processed food,
mm-hmm.
you know, avoiding as much...
What do you say to like the calorie counter people? They're always out there. They're always telling me I got to eat this many calories. What do you say about that? Anything for that? Putting you on the spot.
You are putting me on the spot.
Well, you're getting on the spot.
I mean, it depends what your goal is. I mean, there are certainly people who are very concerned about how many calories are consuming, how many calories are burning. But then again, it depends on what your goal is and what you're actually trying to accomplish.
Well, I loaded the question, and Lauren hit the home run here. She hits it out of the park. It was a loaded question to get going. It's because one of my favorite trainers to read after UFC trainer Mike Dolce, he always says, don't count your calories, make your calories count.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on who you are, what your DNA says, what you're coded to do, guess what? It's different for everybody. So you got to make sure that when it's coming to the nutrition that you're hitting your macronutrients, make sure your micronutrients are taken care of, and you can easily do this. Again, I'm going to outsource from my world in the strength and conditioning world and the training world. I outsource it to the nutritionists and the registered dietitians. You can always kind of figure out where you are. If you need the help, those are the individuals I would go to. I would look to them and say, you know what? Am I getting my macros correctly? Am I getting my micronutrients correctly? I mean, there's many guides that you can just go on and apps and the internet stuff where you can plug some stuff in, keep a logical, and I guess logical is the wrong word here, but keep an accurate food journal. Like if you're eating the Snickers, put it in the food journal. you're only lying to yourself. You know, you're tricking yourself. So if you know you're eating the Snickers, put it in there. If you know that you're snacking on pastries, that you're snacking on pretzels, you're doing all the stuff that you know you shouldn't be doing when you're trying to hit these goals, mm-hmm. just write it down, put it in there so that you can figure out exactly why you're not hitting these things. You know, it's good enough to a point to sit back and say, I'm not hitting my goals because I know I shouldn't have eaten that bag of chips. But actually know what that bag of chips just did to your numbers. Mm-hmm. Know how much fat you're over. Know how much protein you're under.
Know how much sugar you're consuming throughout the day.
Yeah, that stuff is pretty big. And mm-hmm. again, we always talk about this. Fat's not bad.
There are healthy fats.
It's really the sugar.
That you need in your diet. It's definitely the sugar that leads you in the bad direction. And
well, sugar really makes you hungry. To.
Yeah, sugar makes you hungry.
Disrupts your insulin levels.
To it, and 100%. I mean, how many people truly know what the intake for sugar should be on a daily basis?
Well, Professor King here showed me a movie. What was the name of that movie?
Fed Up.
Yep. Fed Up. This documentary called Fed Up, and they spoke in the movie about how addictive sugar is to our brains. They said our brains light up on a brain scan. Just as much as if the brain was on cocaine.
Right.
So if your brain's on cocaine, your sugar lights up.
And there are studies that actually show and highlight that sugar is actually more addictive than cocaine.
That's
than heroin.
Nuts. That's nuts to me. But again, I can look outside and you see what's happening to our country, in all honesty. It's mm-hmm. time to fight it. You know, you got to fight back a little bit here know what nutrition is good. Know what you need to do. And if you need help, they're out there. You know, the professionals are out there. And again, you can ask your personal trainers and you can ask your strength coaches and ask your fitness professionals, ask your doctors. You know, there's certain things out there and hopefully they all point you in the right direction. And If you feel like something's gone wrong, you feel like you're being pointed in the wrong direction, such as eliminate something, like that elimination stuff.
That should be your first cue. That's not really a diet that's going to last too long.
Yeah. Again, this is the four pillars of health and fitness. This is not the four pillars of medicine. So we're sitting back and saying, you know, if you hear something that something it just doesn't ring right to you, registered dietitian, nutritionist, they're out there to help you, okay? So now we'll get to the fourth pillar. Pillar number four, exercise. So in our podcast last week, we were talking about training versus exercise. And here's where I want to make that point again. This pillar of exercise means movement. I don't even want to call it exercise. I want to call it movement. So the fourth pillar, we're going to call it movement. We want you to move your body accordingly. What your goals, you know your goals, go in there and move your body to achieve your goals. So if you know you want to lose 10 pounds, you're going to have to figure out what works for your body best. What movement is going to work for your body best? I will tell you right now, getting strong, you will never get hurt. So strength should be the foundation where you start, which means squats, deadlifts, overhead presses, bench presses. Okay? That is going to be the foundation of strength. That's where I advise everyone to start off with, because if you're going to get hurt doing anything, it's because you lack in one of those four areas. All right, after that, you know, it's on you. There's a ton of programs out there that can get you going in the right directions, and I advise that you move. Not moving makes this terrible, right? Health and fitness pillars. If one of those four pillars are missing, your roof of health and fitness is not staying up. Right, mm-hmm. It's going to collapse within on itself. It's weight bearing.
That's actually a great analogy.
Well, the pillars are weight bearing. Mm-hmm. So when you have these overall health goals, and we talked about it last week with the goal setting, right, and the New Year's resolutions. So when you start out and you have these goals of what you're going to hit and how you're going to hit them, make sure that these four pillars line up with your goals. Make sure you're sleeping enough. Make sure that you're eating correctly. Make sure that the movement lines up with what you're trying to do and that you're hydrating correctly. Now, that being said, if you have any questions, we want you to reach out to us. You can catch us on the email. Go to our website, right? www.kofhv.com. Mm-hmm. Sign up for the newsletter. Number one, newsletter. You can sign up for it on the website. But there's also a button where you can ask questions. You can send email questions. You can tweet us. You can Facebook message us. Ask the questions that you're looking to know. We're going to give you the most logical, best answer out there. And a lot of times, people don't want you to know these things. And they don't want you to know these things because they can't make money off you over and over and over again when you know how to do it right. That's the big thing. Fitness, what did they say? They said fitness 2013. This was a fact I read. I was taking a business class, right? And they said fitness made $2 billion, over $2 billion in bad information in 2013.
Well, yeah, because everyone wants a quick, easy fix. Guess what?
It's not a quick, easy fix.
It is a total lifestyle change.
What worked in 1950 still works today in 2015. So again, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to start talking to you about nagging injuries and why my leg is killing me. You're listening to Strength Talk with Kyle and Lauren King of Kings of Fitness. Make sure to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see the latest and greatest things that are happening. All right, guys, we're back. Getting into it right away with the nagging injury talk, okay? So we just finished on the four pillars of health and fitness. So if you did not, if you've zoomed ahead and you didn't get that, make sure that you rewind the podcast, get back to the four pillars of health and fitness, because that's going to help you attain those goals in this new year. And anything that you're trying to do will always result back to that. But something that can derail the train, as my train has been derailed, nagging injuries. So for me, I like to try everything. I see this stuff on Instagram. I tag back and forth with people around the world. And it's so much fun to try out some cool things that I see. But sometimes your body isn't prepared. And sometimes the training load that you've decided to take on is too much. You've overestimated where you're going to be in life. And I've gone ahead and done that. I've ran several programs that are really helping me gain a tremendous amount of strength. But at the same time, I want to be as flexible as a gymnast. So as I've been doing my squatting, as I've been doing my gymnast stuff, as I've been doing my calisthenic training, I've come up with this nagging calf kind of hamstring injury. I really feel it in my calf. It feels like there's a pull. And I know that my hamstring is super weak compared to what my quad is trying to do with my body. So now, with the help of my chiropractor, Dr. Eric Uxelainen, we've formulated a plan to kind of get me where I need to be, and that's hamstring rehab. So I'm going to go into strength rehabbing thing. I'm actually going to start it today, but I'm going to start working on getting that hamstring stronger. Now, where this all lies, again, nagging injury. This started off as something small. I didn't do what I needed to do. I know better. I know better. And unfortunately, I got a big blockhead.
What did you say to me? The shoemaker's son has no shoes?
The shoemaker's son has no shoes. Well, I sit back and again, I don't have a shoe to stand on. So what I want to talk about is this cumulative injury cycle and the nagging injury. So at some point in time, in some of the movements that I've been doing, I've experienced some type of tissue trauma that caused inflammation. And as I cause that inflammation, I'm having muscle spasms that just, like, my muscles just firing off, doing all sorts of crazy stuff that it shouldn't be doing. I may not feel it per se, but at the time, my lateral gastrocnemius, the outside of my calf there, is just firing off nonstop. And that nonstop firing off is tearing tissue, micro tears in the tissue, you know, maybe even a little bit bigger than a micro tear. But that leads to the rebuilding of the tissue. When something breaks down in your body's going to do its best to kind of rebuild that tissue. And when it rebuilds it incorrectly, you get these things called adhesions. Adhesions that build up in your muscles, they're so inelastic that when you go to step off, so I know that my calf has direct reflection on my ankle flexion. When I go to step off and walk, I should have 15 degrees of ankle flexion. That dorsiflexion, I should get that at 15 degrees. Now, if I have my calf filled with these inelastic adhesions, it's not going to move the correct way, which then I'm not getting my 15 degrees when I walk. So if I'm not getting my 15 degrees, you know, those muscles in my leg have to kind of come together and figure out how I'm going to walk. I'm still going to walk. I'm just not doing it correct. And that's where, like, altered neuromuscular control comes in. So I might be asking for more work for my hamstring. You know, I might be shutting down my glute. I might be getting tighter in my hip flexors. A whole mess of stuff just starts taking over. And it leads to the terrible and dreaded muscle imbalance. So when you have all this stuff, it's terrible. It's painful. And it's hard to get over until you break that cycle, because the muscle imbalance leads to more tissue trauma, more inflammation, more spasms, more adhesions, and it'll just keep going and going and going because it's a cycle. So I sit back to you now and I say, how do you break that cycle? And what we train at Kings of Fitness, corrective exercise continuum. You gotta break the cycle. So the corrective exercise continuum, what we do is there's inhibition of muscles, there's lengthening of muscles, there's activation of muscles, and then we sit back and we integrate it all so that we kind of come out of that cumulative injury cycle. And that's what I'm talking about, like my hamstring rehab. What I'm going to have to do, for me specifically, and again, if you have a nagging injury, we want you to email us, tell us about your nagging injury, and we might be able to put you on the right path to get out of that nagging injury. So for me, I have the hamstring issue. I know my hamstring's weak. But if my hamstring's weak, I know that it's my quad that's kind of taking over the movement of my leg. So I have to inhibit the muscle tissue there. That's where we talk about, like, massage therapy, chiropractic care can kind of handle that too, you know, inhibiting that muscle. You can do it too, self-myofascial release. I use lacrosse balls. You could use
foam roller.
You can use those massage balls. You know, there's many different things. It's actually a booming industry now in America. You don't really find it anywhere else. We were listening to some Olympic lifters. They found it fascinating. It was Bulgarian Olympic lifters. They were fascinated by the foam roller because they don't have it in Bulgaria, or they weren't using it at least. So when they saw it, they thought it was pretty cool. But it's still, you know, that inhibition of the overactive tissue. So for me, again, I'm looking at my quad and I'm looking at my lateral gastrocnemius, the outside, the lateral aspect of my calf muscle. That is going to be a problem for me. So I have to stop it from firing off, and I do that through those techniques, any one of them. So when I get that stuff to stop, I have to really stretch, because if there's a muscle that needs to stop, right? I've stopped it from firing off. It's going to be short, super short. So I have to go into some stretching techniques. And that's where I have Lauren take me through, like, any of these stretching techniques, like the quad stretches. We have so many of them that we do, so many different calf stretches that hit the outside of the leg. But I let Lauren run the program, because as much as I know, like she said before, shoemaker's son, I'm not going to do it myself. So she designs my program. And then I sit back and I say, okay, so now I've got all that going down. So now I got to activate. What would you do for an activation of the hamstring, like an isolated activation?
You can do, if you have any of those like furniture movers or sliders, you can always use those as and get like a hamstring curl movement on those to help isolate into the hamstrings there.
That's always a good one. The Swiss ball works just the same way.
Exactly. And same movement, just different equipment usage.
Yeah. And then if you're like in Globo Gym, if you're in one of those gyms where you got a big membership to, I like the prone hamstring curl.
Yes.
So single leg prone hamstring curl. Again, when I'm dealing with injuries and stuff like that, especially these nagging ones, I like to break the body down unilaterally, affect, like try to hit each side of the body and really attack what's the problem, like where the problem is. So once we've done all that, then we really, you got to work into integrating that muscle function again. So reintegrating your body, teaching it how to do it properly, getting away from the muscle balances, the muscle imbalances, and getting away from those altered neuromuscular control factors. So for me, Dr. Eric was saying, you know, it was an eccentric load of the hamstring, not from stepping up onto a box step, but actually stepping off of it. So I'll put my affected leg on the box, I stand nice and tall, balance, and then I drop my right leg down, my affected leg being the left. I drop my right leg down, I tap my toe, and I stand back up. Other things I liked, and again, who says it? NASM. NASM's pretty good. National Academy of Sports Medicine. They have a whole book on this stuff. But we sit back and we say, okay, find what's wrong. You could do some backward lunges into some balancing, which is also really good, where I would get into some integrating. I would do some more glute work, like function. Look for glute function because, again, when the glute is not functioning correctly, that's where you have a lot of imbalances into the hips. So I'm going to work on all of it myself. And again, nagging injuries, they happen all over. Lauren's been dealing with a shoulder injury. Tell us about that one.
I don't know. It's so much shoulder injury. More, I don't, how would you describe it?
I'm saying it pops up over and over again, so I'm going to call it a nagging injury.
Well, a nagging injury? I'd say it's more into my rhomboids and underneath the shoulder blade than shoulder, but well, nagging injury nonetheless.
Yeah, it's not a rotator cuff problem like a lot of people see.
No.
This actually happens from what movement are you doing when you really feel this one fire off?
The snatch.
Okay, so it's Olympic lifting,
mm-hmm.
and it's the snatch movement.
Yeah.
So as we look at that, Lauren has something that pops up just from that movement, and we say it could be from anything, right? It could be from the shape of your spine. It might be just the movement itself, just getting ready and figuring. We've been doing, how long have we been Olympic lifting for?
8 weeks. Eight weeks.
Yeah, so a little bit over 2 months now we've been Olympic lifting. And you got to see how, you know, Olympic lifts, if you haven't seen them, check out Swiss Stack Olympic lifts. You might be able to see a video of Lauren actually doing some of these Olympic lifts. Go on YouTube, check out some of the cool guys, you know. Klokoff, look great. Who was I was looking at somebody the other day. Kendrick Ferris.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool stuff. So the Olympic lift is one of the most technical lifts, if not the most technical lift that you can actually do. And they say it's a very technical lift or the most technical lift because you cannot correct it when it happens. I think those are the only type of lifts that you correct them after the fact.
Right.
That's why they happen so fast. So think about what the central nervous system has to do, how all the muscles have to play in order to combine to create this amazing movement.
Mm-hmm.
And now Lauren does it. She does the snatch. Ends up with the weight over her head. She's down in an overhead squat position. She goes and stands up. She's locking out her arm. She puts the weight down. And we have the nagging injury. It might not even pop up during the session. It's like after the fact.
Yeah. It's typically after the fact once, you know, everything in my pecs are kind of tightening down. And then that really plays a role into the pain I experience that's into the lat rhomboid area.
So what kind of rehab or prehab do you end up doing to try to avoid this, because notice Lauren doesn't feel this during the session. So she gets through a whole 2 hour lift without having a problem. And then I attribute that because she knows it's there. So mm-hmm. she's doing something.
Right.
So what are you doing?
Most of the time I will, first I'll try to roll through the pecs with a lacrosse ball, or even really roll the lats with the foam roller just to loosen those two key areas up. I'll go through some pec stretches. I'll go through a couple lat stretches, and then I'll work into some of the strengthening exercises. That was a tongue twister.
Yeah, a little bit.
Some of the strengthening exercises. There's the push-up?
Push-up plus.
The push-up plus, where you actually end up at the top of the push-up. It's almost like you have like a cat back, like a Halloween cat back, where you have that arch to it, and that really works into some of the key muscles. And then also there's some YTI raises that you could do on a physio ball or even on a bench for that matter that really work into those key areas that I need to strengthen up as I'm going through those lifts.
Now, if you don't know what a YTI raise is, you could check out our YouTube channel. I think Lauren has a video up with some YTI raises in them. So you can check those out there, www.youtube.com/ Kings of Fitness.
Yes.
But any of the exercises, again, if you don't know what they are, just email us, you know, contact us some way. We'll shoot you what it is.
Yep.
We'll let you know. Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, but I mean, as long as you know what's going on with your body, you know the steps you need to take to kind of ready it for a particular movement.
Like, and be successful with it.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. You got to train.
Right.
It's got to happen. So if you're going to train smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do have to say, since I've been using some of the corrective exercise protocol, the injury isn't nearly as bad as what it used to.
Well, you know what I like is Lauren actually documented a lot of the stuff that she was doing with, because she was experiencing something called scapular winging. And with the scapular winging, I was afraid that how the snatch movement works, that would affect how that scapular winging works, right? So that it would get worse rather than get better. So she's been doing her protocol, and we've been documenting it on like Instagram. Mm-hmm. We put up some videos. We put it up on Facebook. And what we actually saw is people from around the world said, I got that back too. Something like that happens mm-hmm. to me. Do these exercises really work? How long should I be doing that? So these questions started coming out from around all over, and we were able to answer them.
Yeah, I mean, the protocol does work. How long you have to do it depends on your body.
How long are you going to keep doing those movements that aggravate it?
Exactly.
So that's pretty cool, where, injuries are injuries, and they're going to try to creep up on you, especially if you're making similar movement patterns over and over and over again. That's why overuse injuries actually happen. But if you are doing the movements as close to perfection as you can. So we look at, when we talk about like form first, and we were talking about that again last week, we were talking about form and stuff. You want to get as close to perfect as you can. And that's where the coaches come in.
Mm-hmm.
The coaches are there, and they're telling you exactly what you're doing wrong. It's eyes on, and it's direct. It's a direct reflection of what you've just done. So they're able to see with their eyes and then hopefully push you in the right direction, as long as your coach is what they should be.
Mm-hmm.
And most of them out there are good.
Right. So not only that, one thing that our coach does for us is he'll video a lot of our movements. So not only is he telling us what needs to be corrected, but he's showing us specifically what needs to be corrected.
Yeah. And it's one of the avenues that we use ourselves at Kings of Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, when we're teaching squats, again, like the little kids, we get like the athletes in. I call them little kids. These guys are bigger than me. But these young athletes, as the young athletes, as we're teaching them to squat deeper, or we're teaching them how to deadlift with straight backs or as straight of a back as they can get, you know, we try to give them the best case for success, the best setup for success. As we teach them, we video them. And then we show them exactly what they did, and we show them how we wanted to change it. And I swear to you, it's like, set number one may look god awful. Set three looks perfect.
Yeah.
But that's how quickly it can be if you know what you're doing wrong.
Right. Because you also have to think about the way people learn. So not everyone's going to learn from you telling them.
Exactly.
Right. A lot of people are going to learn by you actually showing them. And
yep. Those coaching cues are out there. So that's like amazing how we can go from having all this stuff, talking about nagging injuries, to talking about how important form is again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to hear more, go back to last week's podcast and you'll hear, you know, exactly what you need to hear. Now, quick show notes. The podcasts are going to come fast and furious. Anytime Lauren and I have a chance to sit down with David, our IT guy, as we sit down with David and get these things tuned out and really, like, you know, turned out, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to get it down to a schedule in the future. I'm looking at, like, either Wednesday or Thursday, depending on your guys' feedback. Give us feedback, please. We want to know when you want to hear and what you want to hear. I'm thinking Wednesdays or Thursdays, probably Thursdays. But you should expect to see a blog from us coming out, which will detail those four pillars of fitness. That's what the next blog is going to be about.
Mm-hmm.
That should be coming out around the same time. You can find that on the website, www.kofhv.com. That will be under the Strength Talk little button. And then the podcast, again, if you're hearing the podcast first or you're reading the blog first, you're going to hear about those four pillars of physical fitness, health, and fitness. Like I said, we're coming out fast and furious. It's New Year first. There's a lot of information to get out there. So if you want to point us in a direction, we appreciate the feedback. Lauren especially, because she's the one who gets all the emails. So she reads it, writes it down, and then pushes it in front of me. It's pretty funny. And I go, yeah, we're not talking about that this week. yeah, that's called silence for my wife.
Oh, God.
Professor King, you can take your glasses off now.
I don't wear glasses.
So, going forward again, we want your feedback. Check us out on YouTube. We're doing some great things in the IT department. Some things are coming down the pipeline. So, again, go to the website, sign up for our newsletter. That's where we're gonna put out weekly newsletters. Lauren has promised to put in one of her favorite healthy recipes that she's found in her research during the weeks and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Whatever she's been cooking in the house, something that's come across. That's,
pulled pork tonight.
Oh, pulled pork tonight. It's going to be a healthy version of pulled pork, which is delicious. So what is that? What makes it healthy? Less calories?
Well, I'd say the ingredients that I'm using, it's I make my own barbecue sauce.
Okay, so what are those ingredients? You got to get to the newsletter to find out what the ingredients are.
I'm not giving too much away.
Exactly. You got to go and sign up for the newsletter to get those ingredients, okay? So if you like pulled pork, but it's not just pulled pork, right? There's going to be a bunch of stuff up there. Eventually.
Yes, exactly.
Weekly.
Yes.
I like that style. Yes. All right, Lauren. Give us a, you know, sign us off, Lauren. Good job. All right, guys. Thank you for listening to the Strength Talk with Kings of Fitness. We are going to be coming back at you. Like I said, I can't give you a set down time because we're coming fast and furious. So you may hear another
Just
one of these guys
the
by the end of the week.
It.
Be on the lookout and sign up for that newsletter. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. We're everywhere. And that's what we want to be. We want to be out there everywhere giving you the information you need to be successful in all of your fitness goals. How you like that?
Well said.
Good sign off?
Great.
All right, guys. See you later.
Bye.